States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome. Thank you for being here. I think Tracy has a sign-up sheet going around for people who would like to speak during the public comment portion. And we will start tonight with a presentation from Katie McEnroe. Yes.
Okay, so tonight I'm going to present student services, which encompasses primarily special education, but there's ESL that's a component of it, AIS is a component of it, homeless, homeschooled students, lots of little things that have been out there that we are now focusing in on. So I will give you some highlights, and I'm going to start with the special ed. Go ahead, show me. Thank you. As I said, we have special ed academic intervention, English language learners, which is actually called ENL now. It's English new learners. We have health services, 504 plans, and homeschool districts, homeschool students. At last, for academic interventions services, we have two teachers. At EBUS, we have two teachers. And at the high school, we have an AIS class in math and American history. That's due to the fact that we, scheduling-wise, we try to do AIS where we can do AIS in the teacher schedules. It is a sixth class for those teachers. AIS is mandated for all students in New York State, not meeting New York State expectations. In grades three, actually four through eight, we primarily look at the state exams, and that's where we base AIS on. In K through three, there's a multitude of measures, such as the DRA that we use, teacher observation, there's review of student records, we have running records and other things that we look at to determine whether or not a child would benefit from AIS in the K-3 level. And on the high school level, it's based primarily on the eighth grade exam, as well as Regents. Special education enrollment, we have 155 students, which is 21.4% for this district. The state guidelines suggest 11% special education classification rate. So as you can see, we're double that, and we're working on looking at that. Some of that is a real reality in the district. We have 134 kids in district. I'm sorry, that 12 got moved over. There are 12 students out of district. That would be in a BOCES placement, at Astor, and other of those places. And then we have 9 students at Kildonan. All 9 students at Kildonan are not Weebatuck students, but we, as the district of location, are responsible for those 9 students with IEPs at Kildonan. That means that if they need speech services, OT services, PT services, we are responsible for providing those services, but there is a provision, I believe, to bill back those districts. We also are responsible for holding their annual reviews and for testing them annually while they're at Kildonan.
And they count towards our 21.4%?
Yes, they're in our numbers. And our homeschool students, which don't count in special ed, but homeschool is when a parent is homeschooling, not when a child is being tutored. And we have 15 students being homeschooled. 2 of those students that are being homeschooled currently have IEPs. Those are also students that we meet on a yearly basis. We are required to, whether they're homeschooled or not, to develop a plan for them each year.
Ms. McEnroe?
Yes.
For the students with the IEPs or for all the homeschooled students?
Just the students with the IEPs. You're welcome. The special ed teaching education services that we currently have, and they may not be in every grade level, I'll start by saying that, are co-teaching, consultant teaching, which is indirect or direct, which means that the special ed teacher might go into the classroom and work directly in the classroom with a group of students, or it may be indirect where the special ed teacher is consulting with the gen ed teacher to support a student that possibly is moving out of special ed or doesn't need as intense of a service, a special ed service. We have resource room. We have special class reading and special class math. That is different from our self-contained classrooms. Our self-contained classrooms that we have, the students are in there for all their subjects. In addition, there may be students in the gen ed setting that will be pulled out for special class reading or special class math in lieu of their instruction in the classroom. We do have four self-contained classes in the district. We have one at WES, we have two in the 4-6 level, and then we have one for 7-9 students. And these are students, some of these students are students we brought back from BOCES a few years ago. And these are students that we have not sent out to BOCES, that we now have these classrooms. For special education only, faculty and staff, we have one administrator, who's myself. We have a clerical position. We have 10 teachers district-wide, but we have two at WES, five at EBIS, that's 4-8, and then we have three in our high school. We have four teacher assistants district-wide. Those four teacher assistants are assigned to our special education classrooms. We do have program aides. Some of our students received, are entitled to an aide. Aides are not forever. They're to help address academics or behaviors, and we develop a plan with the aides and the teacher to kind of look at how we can make the student more independent. Aides are a very restrictive service under the guidelines of special education. Program aides are, an aide could be assigned to two or three kids, and then we have one-to-one aides, but they have the same guidelines. And we have related service providers. We have speech, OT, PT, social worker, psychologist, and a teacher of the deaf that is through BOCES. And we have 10 staff there. As you can see, in the budget codes in special education, we have contractual. We have conference money for some conferences for the staff to go to. This is in addition to some conference money that's in our district-wide conference money. We have testing money. The testing is quite costly. We are required by law each year to update the students' testing in their area of weakness, whether it be reading, math, or writing. And the companies love to change their tests on a regular basis and make the old tests invalid so that we are constantly purchasing the newer version or protocols of the tests. We also have money in there for supplies. Those are not pens, paper, and pencils. Those come out of the building budget. They are for specific special education supplies that we may need in the classrooms. OOD means out-of-district placements. So as you can see that in 15, 16, and 16, 17, we have cut those costs. Those are due to our special education classrooms that we have in district, and we're able to place our students in there. For speech, we have three full-time speech teachers in the district. And I can tell you they are working to their maximum. There are 80 students in grades K through 3. Speech does not just encompass articulation, the way you're making a sound. Speech is also the way you are processing and receiving language, which is huge in reading. So we are very fortunate to be able to provide some of our kindergarten students who come in with speech improvement services. We don't necessarily classify them right away, and we give them speech improvement services. Years past, we used to be able to go into the classrooms and do some speech lessons with, in conjunction with the classroom teacher, but the needs of our speech students have increased substantially that we have not been able to do that. We have 46 students in grades 4 through 12. The frequencies for speech can be anywhere from 1 to 6 times a cycle, and anywhere between 30 and 45 minutes per session. So you can see how that can add up with just 3 people in the district and in a 7.5-hour day. And they can be group or individual, especially if a student is working on articulation. Many of those sessions are individual because it's wouldn't be effective to service kids unless their articulation difficulties were exactly the same. And I can't say that we find that quite often. Our related services, when you create an IEP, you have special ed services, which were the services I told you about earlier, which are co-teaching, consultant teaching, resource room, special class, and then you have related services, and those are speech and language services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, counseling. We have a social skills group at the elementary level, which is a group with a social worker and our speech teacher, and they work together in working with our kids on social skills. And we also have hearing impaired services, and those are contracted out through BOCES. ENL, as I said, which is the old ESL, ELL, it's been called many things over the years. It is now called ENL. We have 3 teachers. Part 154, the regulations that drive ELL services. There were changes made, substantial changes, I should say, last year to the regulations, which went into effect July of this year. The major changes were the amount of minutes per week we had to service a child, as well as how long we kept a child after they are discharged. We can't just let them go. It's a year or two after that they still may have ENL services. It's also how the service is delivered. They're now asking us to provide ENL services in the classrooms, as well as pulling students out of classrooms. Primarily, it used to only be a pull-out service. At West, we have 40 students in Marianna ENL program. At EBIS, we have 12 students, and at the high school, we have 18 students. In the last 2 years, like many, many, many districts across the U.S., we have seen our ENL population go up. We have students who were coming into high school at the age of 14 and 15 who have not had a formal education since 5th grade. And we are obligated to not only provide them the ENL service, but get them through the high school classes. Oh, we also, one other thing on that, they are tested on the NICES slot every year, and that determines their level of service, and there are 5 levels of service. Depending on the level of service, depends on the minutes of day per day that they will get, which could be anywhere between 30 minutes and 120 minutes per day for ENL services. In the 16-17 year, there are things that we are looking at district-wide that I will be helping to support and oversee, which one is our district literacy initiative. I will be looking at how we can purchase the materials and what professional development we will need and getting that off the ground. PBIS, which is Positive Behavioral Intervention Strategies, thank you. The materials and the professional development for that as well. I know some of these things you have heard from my colleagues. Foreign languages, conversations, whether or not we introduce Mandarin Chinese to our grades 4 through 6, and if we are continuing with our plan to reduce French. And then also to continue building our STEAM offerings, which is our science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, thank you, fair that we have every year, but we also want to offer things in STEM or STEAM for our students because that's where the way the world is going. So we're looking at offering a robotics course, grades 6 through 8, and we'll give professional development on that. And just kind of aside on that, I was just at the PTA, and Mrs. Buckley brought up to the PTA that she would love to get some money for a team of people to be involved in this county-wide Lego League. And basically what they do is this team works together with a computer chip, I'm guessing, to code it and put this Lego robot together, and then they go out and they compete, and they're judged at Dutchess Community College, and then the next level goes down to New York City, and the level after that goes out to actually California. So we are looking at something like that as well. We also have CDOS. I'm not sure how much you've heard about CDOS. CDOS is the new credential, not diploma, credential for high school students. These are students that have been on the region's track, have taken the region's multiple times, and possibly are not going to get a region's diploma. So we are now able to give them what we call a CDOS certificate. This certificate says that we have made them college and career ready. We have Mr. Rapanova and Ms. Robinson are teaching some classes in regard to this. I'm looking to expand that. Part of the CDOS requirement is that they have at least 54 hours of work-based learning in the community. We are able to cover this with many of our students who are working during the summer. But it is something that we're going to have to look at eventually. Districts are hiring what they call a work-based learning coordinator or a job coach to go out with these students, find them placements, get them into their jobs, and track their hours. It's not just going and knocking on someone's door and saying, will you take a student for work? It's really checking out that their insurance is up to date, that they have workman's comp, that they have their environment is conducive for learning, and then getting a student into a placement. So it's a big job. Some students also contract with ARC, which we have done in the past, but that can be quite costly as well. Right now, we're doing okay, but that is something in the future that I think that we're going to have to really look at having somebody do. In addition, I'm going to speak at the Chamber of Commerce next month to let them know about the CDOS so that they can understand what a CDOS credential is, because I know many businesses will say, unless you have a high school diploma, we will not hire you. I want them to understand that a CDOS credential is something that we are saying as a district, this child is career ready. Also, possibly a 0.5 speech teacher to meet the mandates of speech requirements. Currently, we are fully in compliance in district. Again, I go back to Kildonan. We have 4 to 5 students up there that required speech this year. Those students came in after June 1st. There is a law that states that you have to let us know as the district of location by June 1st if you want related services up at Kildonan, for example. Those parents are aware of that law and will be back at the CSE before June 1st. And I'm sure we'll be asking for speech services for next year. Currently, the speech teachers are at 110% capacity, and I'm not sure we'll be able to provide the speech up there, but we are mandated by law to do it. Again, if we do hire someone and those students are out-of-district students, and I kind of defer to Cynthia, they're billable to the other districts, I believe.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We are also in conversation about how we can redesign our academic intervention program by redeploying our TAs and doing something different, really looking at our tier system and what we're doing and how, what supports we're putting in there, more professional development, and we're looking at Right Reasons technology, which is a computer
web-based
program that our students can go on and work at their own level and also be targeted with certain skills. If they're having difficulty with multiplication of two numbers, by two numbers, we can actually put them on there for some intense intervention at that level, at their skill, and see if we can't help them with that service.
Yeah, so real quick, one of the slides that Katie had showed earlier was that we have about a 21% student population in students with disabilities, extremely high. The state says you should have between 11 and 12%. I believe one of the reasons why that's happening is because we're not catching the students at the early enough stages in order to give them the interventions they need so that they don't qualify for special education. In revamping and working with the administrators, the teaching assistants, their job descriptions and what actually services they provide, in now allowing them to give intervention services and academic intervention services, we believe we can catch a lot more of those students so that they don't qualify for special education. It's individualized prescriptive instruction through a web-based program. It's going to have major effects on what we do, K through 12, and we'll continue to talk more about this product, but I think it's helping us with redesigning our program and allowing us to use those intervention strategies, and we'll see that in a quick moment.
I concur with that. So for anticipated increases next year, there's the 0.5 speech therapist to cover our Kildonan students. Again, we'll be able to build the districts for them. Is it 100%?
100%.
Our 1.0 work-based learning coach to support our students receiving a CDOS credential. We have more and more students that are receiving it. Many of those students are in our self-contained classrooms or would have been at BOCES. New physics, they're asking for new physics and chemistry books, the total of 5,500, excuse me. The behavior intervention program, which is the PBIS, at 10,000. Our literacy initiative, we're guesstimating at 10,000, and the Right Reason technology at 35, for a total of 180,000.
Questions?
Rick? I was thrilled to see the STEAM part, and I'm not a big technology guy, but STEAM is obviously a really valuable thing. And the CDOS, I'd heard that over the years, didn't know what it was, but it sounds terrific. So I'm glad to see both of those things in there. And this is what a nerd I am. I just watched this Lego documentary last night, and part of it was talk about Lego leagues and this successful group and so on and so forth. And I know they do interventions, but and you have a feeder program now with the Lego program at the elementary school, right? So that could be led into that. With self-contained kids, it says you had it up to sixth grade. What happens to kids who were self-contained? What happens to them in seventh grade?
We do have a self-contained. There is one there that's 7-9.
Oh, okay. All right. I must have missed it then. The state guidelines, they want 11%. We have 21.4. Being familiar with other school districts that often exceed those limits, is there any backlash from the state on this, or is it just sort of, you should be doing this, but the reality is, this is what our kids need, and maybe we'll be addressed in the future differently, but basically, have we paid any price or gotten any flack from the state about that?
Not that I'm aware of, and I don't know districts that do.
You won't get flack. What they say is, why is the number so high, and we can justify it with the type of students that are coming in. We saw a lot of students with English needs, English speaking needs. They qualify also. So we have a high poverty rate here, much like the school you're speaking about. We're very high in poverty, I believe it's 60-something% poverty. So those are just reasons that students may not be coming to Weaver Tuck with the skills that they need in order to succeed in our labeled special education or students with disability. We have to work around that. And we have to deal with the students that we are, you know, handed off at kindergarten or whatever, and make sure that they get the interventions necessary so they don't become special students with disabilities, and try to get them out of that. Just because they come to us doesn't mean that they stay in that trap forever. We have to try a better way of getting them out of that trap.
We also do have a number of students who move into the district with an IEP. Many of our students, we have a safe house in our district, and many of our students that come from there move in with an IEP, and those individuals end up relocating into our district.
I saw AAS was given for social studies, American history, and then it said based on availability within schedules and so on. So I'm just wondering, it was social studies, and I forget what the other course was, with the AIS that was up in here.
Math.
So math, I thought the big push was math and literacy. So why would there be AIS for social studies or for science? Well, science, I guess I can understand, but unless it's promoting literacy through social studies?
The truth of the matter is, Rick, is that we don't have a strong AIS program in the district, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. Mm-hmm. I think it was half-heartedly done only because we used staff to whatever we had available at that point. The fact that we have social studies and math, I believe it was American history and math, was simply stated because the teachers had time in their schedule to do a sixth period to do the AIS class. That's not a program.
Right.
So what we're looking at through Right Reasons, through our revamping of our teaching assistants, is that there will be a true AIS program in for all academic areas and all academic levels.
Right. Okay. That's all I have. Thanks.
Are there any other questions from the board?
I don't have a question, just a more of a kudos to Ray and Katie and everybody else in the student services. You know, we've alluded to that high percentage of kids with needs. Mm-hmm. I can say, from the state end of things, that Weaver Tuck is one of five districts in the five-county region that are in compliance with their transition plan. So
yes, we are.
That's no worries. Thank you,
thank you. Thank you. So thank you very much to our Director of Student Services for your presentation.
The National Honor Society is working on planning a spring blood drive. The date and all the other information is to be announced. And the spring musical is this weekend, Friday at 7, Saturday at 7, and Sunday at 2. It's 42nd Street, which includes a lot of tap dancing and singing.
Can you give
I don't have much to say besides that spring sports have started today.
Thank you.
We had a winter sports banquet the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Usually you have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Next week. Right. You're in week transition.
First year of baseball, I think.
Yeah.
It's been a long are there any questions from the board for our student representatives? Thank you for being here, and thank you for your reports. We are on public comment. Just grab this on the sheet. Okay, and we have no tapers for the first round of public comment, and we will come back to public comment later in the meeting if anybody changes their mind. And Greg, superintendent's
report. Yes, thank
report.
You. I'd like to first welcome two of our finest that represent Weaver Tuck, as well as our, even though he's got a hat on. we have two gentlemen who were part of the sectional basketball team that won our first sectional game versus Millbrook. and played well at SS Seward for three quarters. And their coach isn't here, but I'd like to recognize Hunter Coulthart and Ethan Lounsbury as two of our, oh, I'm sorry, three. I'm sorry, Ernesto was also there as part of our team, and thank you representing our schools so well. Next year, you know, maybe a little further even, so thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now it's baseball season for you three. You play baseball too? Yeah. Last year, very into the sectionals, and last year also, so hopefully this year will continue. You're welcome to go. You don't need to stay.
Thank you for coming.
We are at our Board of Education goal setting discussion where we left off. So we had a number of goals that we were going to try to finalize tonight in front of the public. The first one was regards to student achievement, and there were lots of discussion. So if we can just finalize that this evening and move forward. So where did we leave
Thank
off?
Thank you.
We've talked about a number of times.
I infer that a little bit of language, but the thing is, I'm fine with them the way they are. So I figured somebody else would look at the other.
Right, and I proposed language, and if the will of the board is that it stays like this, I can support that.
I don't remember what the language was. I think we spoke about it so many times.
Yeah, I thought you had a couple of you write them down. And I thought there were a couple that maybe made a better grammar, like one or two that really had to be. And I don't remember what the
language No, was. Do you want to? Let's table it, and I'll pull that up. Is that
the 14th? Can we do it the
14th? Yeah, we'll finalize it the 14th.
All right, the 14th.
Sorry.
Okay. No, that's correct.
On number three, we have to take growth out of social responsibility because that's just an accident. So.
Social responsibility.
Yeah.
That's our first suggestion. But we've been talking about it, and unfortunately, we've talked about it, and no one's really memorialized it by writing it down. So the 14th, the 14th, if you have what you bring forward on the 14th to just get this done so
and,
we can move forward.
I can tell you what I proposed for number two. It was a slight change, and it said we are committed to a transparent budget process that provides a quality education in a fiscally responsible manner. So that was my change for that. No, it's a little bit different. It says promote cost effectiveness, and I just don't feel like that's...
Take the cost effectiveness.
We're going to table it, and we're going to come fully prepared on the 14th,
okay.
Ready to go, fall.
All right. Okay. All right. Email.
There we go.
Where are we?
Consent
what else
agenda.
Do you have,
Ray? Just next week, you have a board meeting on the 14th, and it would be for the sole purpose of, or the main purpose of, going over some more budget numbers. We've heard all of our departments and principals. Cynthia and I will put together all that what they've said into a budget discussion. I will make sure that everyone understands budget and levy are two different things. Budget is what it takes to run the school district. Levy is what it's going to cost the taxpayers. That will be another discussion in the next couple of weeks. But this will be a budget of what has been put out there, and we'll start to decide what's going to be put into the budget and what's not, knowing that we don't know the levy because we're still waiting for state education to give us their runs of state aid and also some other revenue sources that we're looking to make sure we have our T's crossed and our I's dotted. So that'll be an opening discussion for the entire budget next week.
So you've probably given us probably on that calendar already, but when do we have to have something finalized to know
April.
To announce to the public that something...
I don't know the exact date, but sometime in April.
Yeah, we have to have a budget hearing in April to present to
Okay. So on April 1st, supposedly, the state's been pretty good the last couple of years of giving us actual.
Yeah, we're hoping that. We'll have pretty much we'll have a finalized budget next week, and then it'll be hold on, and you guys can decide to hold on to it until we decide what the levy is going to be, or you know what, this was really something worthwhile, but we really don't want to go for that right now. And we'll have those discussions open next week with input from Cynthia and myself.
Okay. Is that all for your report
this
week? Okay, then we are on the consent agenda. Is there anything anyone would like pulled?
I'd like to pull 802.
Okay.
I would like to pull 804.
Okay. Anything else? there being nothing else, I'm looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended. Thank you, Rick. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chris. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda passes, and we are at 7:03.
8:02.
Nope, 7:03.
7:03, go in order.
Delegations.
None.
Uh-huh, and now we're at 8:02.
8:01.
Blah, 8:01. Thank you. Is there a motion for 8:01?
So, second.
A second? Did somebody want to speak?
One more thing.
Thank you.
How long? She's been here a while, hasn't she?
She's been here a few years. We were on the board when
we appointed, yeah.
Right.
So, wish her well.
So we wish Amy McEnroe Bach the best, and we're grateful for her service. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. 8:02, Bill.
Yes. A fourth administrator. I feel the district right now cannot afford another administrator. Our numbers are dropping. We're down to 800 or 760 total in district. The way the climate is out here right now, I was talking to a real estate broker today. Between the last 2 years, between Millerton and Mena only, we've had over 40 foreclosures. As of right now on the docket, there's another 15 out there right now.
What you should do is, if we're going to talk about it, which you don't put the motion forward.
Apologies. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Bill, before you continue, I'm looking for a motion to, I made an error. I'm looking for a motion to approve the administrative appointment of Eric Lynch, administrative appointment as written.
So moved.
Second. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Nikki. Good. Bill, back to you.
As I was saying, with the climate as it is out here now in the community and our budget restraints, we have a lot of cases that are coming before us now with tax returns to corporations and personal interest. We really can't afford it. I know we'd like to see a fourth administrator, but I feel the community just cannot accept another fourth administrator at this time. It's too much, especially since our numbers are dropping over and over.
Who else would like to speak?
There's actually something to do with the cost of a fourth administrator that I'd like to discuss in executive session, if we could.
So are you, you're making a motion that we table this for executive session?
I am making a motion that we table this. In no way is this, well, I have to keep my mouth shut really because you can't say anything. So I'm making a motion that we table.
Is there a second?
Hey.
Was that you, Bill?
Yes.
So there is a second. Is there any discussion on moving this into executive session?
I feel like we've discussed this at great length. So
if I may, only because something has come up with a question from Judy that has another personnel issue.
Okay.
There's no reflection on the person or the possibility that the position might go through or not. I know he's sitting there. It may be acted upon after we have a discussion, executive session, but it's about a different personnel issue that Judy would like to discuss.
That's related to this?
If you could, yes.
Okay.
You could bear with
you would have, yeah.
Sure.
I guess then we are voting on the motion to pull this into exec session right now. We have a first and a second. Unless if there's further discussion about anybody. All right, so we'll vote. Those in favor of bringing this into exec session, say aye.
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 And opposed?
Nay.
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 So it's a tie.
It's a tie. Yeah. And what does that mean? We call Corey.
That means you would have to vote on it right now. if I may give my opinion, which I don't know if I'm entitled to, I would, it's something we can vote on after executive session, because I think Judy's question is about a different topic that's important to cover. And it's fair.
And somehow bears on...
It may, I don't believe it will, but...
Well, it could.
So we're still going to...
And I would ask that the board just indulge this one, it's not like we can't do it afterwards, if you're still in favor.
Do you want to go into exec session right now?
Can we make a motion to go into...
We'll go into exec session.
So I move to move into exec session to discuss a personnel issue with this.
Second, those in favor?
Is that open?
No, you can't go in there, that's a dressing room, you're going to have to go into here.